Amen. And good morning, church.
Good morning.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go and worship in the house of the Lord." It's always good to be here with you all. Excuse me. So, as a way of preface here, in general, just so everyone knows, I have a bit of an aversion. This is just me. I don't necessarily like preaching topical sermons. I get a little bit set in my ways. My wife, I think it's lovingly, I don't know her heart behind it, but calls me a grumpy old man often. She's not wrong. I often act this way. And part of this would be some of my peculiar habits and character traits. I like to say I'm committed. Desiree would say I'm stubborn. Two sides of the same coin. But one of the things I find myself, and this one probably is just stubbornness, is I don't like to let people, or really anything, tell me how to do or what to do, whatever it is that I have set before me. So I'm more likely to look at the calendar, see that Mother's Day is coming up, and say, I'm not slave to any calendar. I'll preach on whatever I want to. But none of us can fight the tide of the times. And here we are today on Mother's Day. And we have a Mother's Day sermon prepared for you all today. But I want to preface the Mother's Day sermon with this. Just because it's a Mother's Day sermon does not mean it is not useful or applicable to all of us in all of our lives. Point one would be this: just because you do not have biological children does not mean that you do not occupy a motherly role. In fact, the mother that we will talk about today is not praised as a mother because of her physical children. We don't even know for certain if she had any children. They're not mentioned anywhere in Scripture. Instead, she will take an entire nation under her care and operate as a mother to all of them. I don't know if any of us are called to be mothers to entire nations, but the principle is the same. Just because you are not a biological mother does not make you not a mother. And point two, and this is, I guess, for the guys out here, just because we're talking specifically to mothers does not mean the truths that are presented, the things that we are told, are not useful for us, and we cannot apply them to our own lives. The things we will talk about of marking a good mother, a godly mother, are valuable and should mark all of our lives in some way, shape, or form. So with that preface out of the way, before we begin, join me in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Today especially, we thank you for mothers, for this gift that you have given us, a family of people in our lives that you have placed to speak truth, to give us love and care. Yeah, we thank you just for all of these pictures of your love for us. And today, as we look at your word, may you open our eyes. May we see you clearly. May we be instructed and learn more of you. And even as we learn more of ourselves as well. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And pray you would be with us today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So with all that being said, I still am a little bit stubborn, and we have a Mother's Day message from the book of Judges to keep with some a little bit of our theme going on. We will be going a bit out of order, and I know this might cause heartache for some of us. If you're taking notes in the book, you're going to have to skip a few pages. It'll be okay. We'll come back, I promise. We're going to skip over the prohibitively long story of Shamgar, all one verse of it. Next is Deborah and Barak, and we will be talking about Deborah, but we're not even going to really be looking at the story of Deborah per se. We're going to skip all the way to chapter 5, and we will be looking at the song of Deborah, specifically two short passages in the song. So we're narrowing down a little bit, but it's all good. I'm excited. For the sake of context, but still trying not to spoil next week's and the week after sermon, because we are going to talk about what we're skipping, I want to give you the short David version of the story of Barak and Deborah so we're all on the same page. It begins with what should be to us now a very familiar phrase. We've heard it multiple times now. The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And again, the Lord sends an oppressor, this time a man by the name of Jabin. We're also told of his right-hand man, the commander of his army, a man named Sisera. But here's where the story of Deborah and Barak becomes actually very different. We don't read God raised up a judge. We don't see that he sent one. Instead, Deborah just kind of appears on the scene. And she is offering judgments for people in the hill country of Ephraim. That's what we read in verse 4 of chapter 4. And she calls Barak and says, basically, hey, didn't God tell you you were supposed to go fight this Sisera guy? And Barak's like, yeah, he did. Eventually he goes and defeats the army, but Sisera escapes. So he chases him and kills all of the members of his army. But again, Sisera escapes. And to make a long story short, we have kind of shades of Ehud, right? We had a very graphic story in Ehud. We're going to have another one as Sisera finds his demise. While he's sleeping on the floor of a tent, a woman named Jael comes in and drives a tent peg through his head with a hammer. So that's a happy ending. And upon winning this great military victory, the armies have been defeated, the general is killed, Deborah breaks into exuberant song. It is a song celebrating the victory that has been won on this day. Deborah's song, from which we're going to take our passage, is actually a very long song. It's an entire chapter of the book of Judges. And before we even dive in, I think it's good to reflect and think, it's actually very strange that we would find a song here in the book of Judges. We are in the middle of recounting the spiral of Israel further and further into apostasy, and the narrator, whoever wrote Judges, takes a time out and is like, oh yeah, Deborah wrote us this song. No one else in Judges gets that, gets this time of exuberant, joyful praise written by them. And in this song of Deborah, we will find much commentary on what has happened in the story. Many kind of clues are given, things that will offer supporting information, things that will bring deeper illumination to this story. They appear in the song. And for mothers today, and why we come here today, is Deborah says this in the song to kind of clarify her role in the whole story. Judges 5:7, the villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. And so we see from Deborah what I would call a positive mother figure. Note that mother is the title that Deborah gives herself. She is a mother. Though we read in the story, right, in Judges 4, that she issued judgment, she's actually never called a judge. She's called a prophetess, but the word she chooses to describe herself, Deborah sees herself as a mother. We often call her, if you're familiar with Judges at all and have gone through it, we'll refer to Deborah as the woman judge. But I'm going to push back on that. I actually don't know if that's actually accurate. Hebrews 11, you might know it as the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's a collection of heroes of the faith. The writer of Hebrews, as he's getting towards the end, this is going to be in Hebrews 11:32, he says this, "What more shall I say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah," and he'll continue. I think it's interesting to note that when he's reflecting on the judges, he lists Barak and not Deborah. Is this a bad thing? Is this sexism just being shown to us blatantly? I don't think so. I think that when the writer of Hebrews, divinely inspired, is writing and reflecting on Judges, he sees Barak as the judge, as we think of judges in the book of Judges. Does Deborah offer judgment? Yes. I would say she's not the judge figure in this story. She has a more important role in some ways. She's the mother figure in this story. In all the other judge stories, Ehud, Othniel, God directly calls the judge, right? He's raised up by God. He's equipped by God. In Othniel, the Spirit of God was placed upon him. In Judges, the judge, Barak, is called out by the one operating as the mother, by Deborah. She is the instrument God uses to save his people in her motherly role. And so I want to draw out three things she does in this story to help save her people, to act as a mother, three things that give us insight into how mothers can and should have a positive impact on the lives of those they love. So we're just going to walk through, look at how she operates, and figure this out together. The first thing she does is she offers counsel. She offers counsel. And this is part of why I don't think we should call her a judge in the judge sense. Judges chapter 4, verse 4, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. So she's doing judgment, but what is she doing? She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. For every other judge, there's military victory involved. There's fighting the oppressor. There is going out and winning victory for God's people. Deborah is more like a wise sage. She sets up shop. She has a little palm tree they named after her. That's the palm of Deborah. It's in the hill country of Ephraim. And people come to her. People from all around come and they ask her for wisdom. And she issues judgments. Not, when we read this, it's not innocent or guilty type of judgments, but this would be a wise course of action. This is what you should do. This is what God would have you do. She's offering wise counsel to all who will come to her and hear it. As I was reflecting on this, I find it interesting. If you were to look at father figures in popular culture, by and large, to put it bluntly, they're idiots, right? They're portrayed as dumb, bumbling fools. That's how dads are often portrayed. But even the world gets this. The mothers are wise, that they offer counsel, that they help us. If you think of all of the important characters in a lot of pop culture, the mothers are the wise ones who offer good words of wisdom. This is a good and biblical principle. Proverbs 31, the passage on wives, mostly, also talks a little bit about mothers. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. It's important that we understand that offering counsel, offering wisdom, is a good, right, and godly trait of mothers. Mothers, my advice to you, speak with wisdom to those around you. For the rest of us, close your mouth, open your ears, and listen to words of wisdom that are given us by our mothers, yes, but by motherly figures in general. Deborah was not a mother of all of those coming to her and seeking counsel, but they listened and they recognized what she had. And she offered counsel, but she offers a specific type of counsel to one person, to Barak in this story, that we can't overlook. She offers conviction. If counsel is just wise advice in general, conviction is going to be very pointed. sometimes difficult counsel to take. The judge, in the traditional judge sense in this story, is Barak. But how he's introduced in this story is actually very interesting. It's not God raised him up. It's not the Spirit of the Lord was set upon him. He's introduced in Judges 4:6 by Deborah summoning him. So he's not even going, but she's like, you need to come here, Barak, and you need to listen to me. And this is what she says. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. She calls him to give an account of why he has not done what God has asked him to do. This is how Desiree often brings conviction to Jaden. Moms have this trick, I've noticed. It's not always outright calling out conviction, right? It's asking kind of pointed questions. Aren't you supposed to be cleaning your room right now? Didn't Dad ask you to do something? Is that how you're supposed to be acting? Questions like this. Mothers often have a very creative way to bring conviction. Sometimes they're blunt, with brutal honesty. I would say that's how my mother-in-law operates with her conviction, right? Sometimes mothers do it different ways, but mothers should bring conviction to the lives of those they love. We don't like the word conviction. Right? It sounds painful. It sounds like, I don't want that in my life. Or we think to bring conviction to someone's life, that's to make them feel bad. It's to make them not feel good about themselves. So why would moms want to do that? That's a wrong thinking of the word conviction. Instead, we should view conviction as a tool, a God-given tool used to bring about repentance and change in the lives of your kids, your grandkids, the case of Deborah, the people that God has called her to love, an entire nation in this case. We should be willing, and moms should be willing, to use conviction to draw their kids unto what God has called them to be and do. Deborah lets Barak have it. The way she asks this question, this is how I read it. She asks, didn't God ask you and command you to go do this? Hidden behind this is another question, this kind of what's wrong with you? Like, why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Do you not see the problems that Jabin and Sisera have caused for God's people? Do you not know that you are the one that God has called to drive out these people? Do you not have faith to understand that God will deliver you? That's what she continues. She said, did God not say, go do this? But also, did God not say, I will win the battle for you? Do you not understand these things, Barak? Deborah is willing to call him, really to task, for not doing what God has called him to do. And if we were to dive deep into Deborah's song, this is actually a recurring theme. She starts by praising God, but there's a hint of sarcasm a little bit in how she starts. Judges 5:2, that the leaders took the lead in Israel and that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. She's saying, finally, the people of God have stood up to be the people of God. Finally, these people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And Deborah, single-handedly, in the story we read, is credited with causing this change to take place. This job of bringing conviction, it falls squarely on the shoulder of mothers. And I think one of the reasons, I think their mothers are better than dads at this in a lot of ways. This is just observing my life and kind of looking into lives of people that I minister to. When dads bring conviction, we do so with a 2x4, right? We're just like, we're just going to go on the warpath and bring conviction. Moms do this in a more gentle and loving way. It's with a question. Didn't God say this to you, Barak? Like, if Jane gets in trouble with me, it's going to be rough. If he gets in trouble with Jaden, he'll probably cry worse because mom just lays on the guilt. Like, it's just what moms do, and they do it well. This is not something to fear. It's something to embrace, is all that I'm trying to say with all of that. We've all been there, right? We've all had the guilt trip from our moms. Moms, keep it up. I'm encouraging you. Do this. It is a God-given responsibility to bring conviction to the lives of our kids. And I think the reason moms are good at bringing conviction is the third point. Deborah does this. I think most moms do it very naturally. She offers compassion. Barak in this story responds by kind of saying, yeah, he did ask me to do that, but Judges 4, verse 8, Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you do not go with me, I will not go. Barak responds by saying, yeah, God asked me to do that, but I can't. I won't do it alone. Was Barak unsure of himself? We don't know. Was he scared? We don't really know. This we do know. He wouldn't go without Deborah. And Deborah said, okay, I'll go. She did this knowing the road would be difficult. There would be battles ahead. She knew that the end of this story would not be necessarily the end Barak would want. She even tells him, hey, just so you know, you're not going to get the glory for this. Probably because you didn't stand up when you were supposed to. Probably for a whole host of reasons. The glory is going to go to another woman named Jael. She's the one who's going to kill Sisera. It's going to be tough, but she's willing to walk it with him. She's willing to walk the difficult road that Barak has been called to for care, because she loves. Because she loves God's plan, I think so. Because she loves God's people, I think so. Because she loves Barak, I would argue. In my life, I have been blessed to live with two moms, one my own and one the mother of my son. And I have seen this to be true, that moms show compassion. I hope I don't get in trouble for oversharing on this one. When Willow is uncomfortable, she has digestional problems. She's young enough, she won't get embarrassed by me saying this. I get sad. I feel for her. Like, I'm not like, yay. Desiree feels for her in a way I don't. I watch it weigh on her. In a way, it doesn't weigh on me. I don't think that's a condemnation of me. I think that's a praise of this compassion that is instilled in moms. As I think about my little sister who we prayed for, when she goes through things, I care for her. It hurts me, but I see it weigh on my mom. I say this partially to praise them because I love them, but not because I think they're unique amongst all the moms. Moms uniquely exhibit this trait of compassion. I think it's what makes being a mom so rewarding. As I look, as an outsider looking in, who will never be a mom, I think it's part of what makes being a mom so rewarding. It's also what makes being a mom so difficult. Watching your kids go through things, having compassion, feeling the things that they're going through, it can't be easy. But it is a God-given, God-instilled, and God-glorifying aspect of being a mom. I have seen and witnessed in my life broken moms, moms' lives falling apart, whose kids are now in our care as foster kids. And in most cases, I won't say all of them because there are some very broken cases, but in most cases, no matter what the mom's going through and all of these bad things, she still cares for and loves her kid. Moms love. Moms show compassion. And this is a good and right thing. These three things, cutely, all starting with C, so it's easy to remember and to make a great sermon, are by no means exhaustive of all the things that moms do. I don't think it would be possible to ever sit back and write a list of all of the things that moms are and do. So I won't say they're exhaustive, but I would venture to say they are universal. these are things that good, God-honoring moms do. With a note, none of us are perfect. We all need to be reminded of things sometimes. So to speak to the moms, and by moms, I mean anyone operating in a motherly role. Again, you do not have to be a biological mom to be a mom. Deborah was not the mother, literally, of all of Israel. That's not possible. But she was a mother to Israel. Mothers, counsel your kids. Speak life and wisdom to them. They need it. Those of us who have ever had moms, have a mom. Hold tight to the words of wisdom offered by mothers. There is life in those words. Moms, be bold in speaking words that will bring about conviction. God will use you to speak into the darkest and most difficult soil. It may take time, it may take work, but mothers, speak the truth in love. Moms, show counsel, show conviction, but show comfort and love. I think in light of the other two, it can be easy to forget to be gentle, to have compassion. I would encourage you, mothers, do it. And where you think you may be weak, where you think you may fail, know this, that we serve a God who is ready and able and willing to equip us for every good work. Lean not on your own strength to do this. Lean on God. For I would be remiss in my duties if I left this sermon off here. There is another mother that Deborah sings of. Deborah calls herself the mother of Israel, but at the end of the song, she sings of the mother of Sisera. To remind us, Sisera was the captain of the army of the people that were oppressing the Israelites. Sisera is a man who, at the end of the story, lies dead with a tent peg in his head. He has a mother, and Deborah sings of her as well. Judges 5, verse 28. Out of the window she peered. The mother of Sisera wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? Her wisest princes answer. Indeed, she answers herself. Have they not found and divided the spoil? A womb or two for every man. A spoil of dyed materials for Sisera, spoil of dyed materials embroidered, two pieces of dyed work embroidered for the neck as spoil. This is fairly cryptic. I'll try to paint the picture for you. If Deborah is the picture of a positive, good mother figure, the mother of Sisera becomes our tragic mother figure in this story. But I want to be very clear. It's painted as tragic from the onset because of what she has to endure. Her son has been murdered. That's what she's dealing with. That is tragic. But I do not call the mother of Sisera a tragic figure because her child was killed. That is not the tragedy of what happened here. Even good moms and godly moms will face hard things. This is not a sermon saying be a good mom and your kids' lives will be perfect, and be a bad mom and everything will go wrong. That's not biblical and that's not true. Deborah had to watch as Barak fought battles. That can't be comforting for a mom, to watch someone you love go off to war. She had to watch as the glory that could have been his and should have been his was given to another. It's got to be heartbreaking. Deborah accompanied Barak through difficult things. Being a good mom does not mean that everything will go awesome. Tragedies will occur in life. Offering counsel and bringing conviction and showing love will not prevent bad things from happening. That's not what we're talking about here. The tragedy of the mother of Sisera is that all of the good things Deborah offers are not offered by the mother of Sisera. Deborah offered wise counsel to those who would come and seek her for wisdom. Sisera's mother told him to go off and plunder God's people. Deborah offered conviction, and she called Barak to live out what the Lord had called him to live out. Sisera's mother encourages his bad behavior. Deborah had compassion and was willing to endure with Barak. Sisera's mother waits for him to bring her the spoils of war, and she mourns not her son, but she mourns what he did not give her. The tragedy that is painted is not just that Sisera's mother had to mourn her child. The tragedy that's painted is she's so selfish, she doesn't really care that much. The tragedy is that her not being a godly mother made matters worse. I want to be very careful here. I want to be very, very, very careful here. God is rich in mercy and in grace. God is generous. God is loving. Praise be to the God who uses imperfect moms and imperfect dads to accomplish his will. That has been the theme of Judges. So don't ignore that while we talk about this. And we talked about Ehud. He was not perfect. God used him. We will talk for the rest of Judges about imperfect, broken people still being used by God. So I say this not in a legalistic way, not in a way that should ever make you think, well, I'll just be a good mom and everything will be okay. I say this to encourage you and to challenge you. This is the way Deborah's song ends. So, may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might. Here becomes the real dividing line. A good mother will show compassion. A good mother will bring conviction. A good mother will give wise counsel. But the best mothers are the ones who count themselves as friends of God. That mother will be like the sun who rises in all his might. The warning of the mother of Sisera is the warning not to a mother who doesn't do all the right things. I have no doubt she loved her son. I have no doubt that she, in her own wisdom, tried to offer him counsel. I picture the mother of Sisera as someone who wanted power and wealth and might for her son. The problem was she had set herself as an enemy of God. And those who do that, to put it simply, will struggle. The key to all of this, the key to being a good mother, to put maybe a New Testament twist on it a little bit, is to realize you can't. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, no, not one. We all fail over and over again. But God is rich in mercy. God is the one who will empower us. God is the one who will help us to live out what he's called us to do. Ephesians says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared in advance that we would walk in them. Being a good mother is more about following what God has called you to do in his strength than it is about figuring out how to do it on your own. I want to end with an encouragement. Mother's Day, for many of us, is a joyous day where we celebrate mothers. It's awesome. But Mother's Day, for many of us, is a pretty rough day. For a whole host of reasons. The reason God has given us mothers to show us, to give us counsel, to bring conviction, and to show compassion, is because that's a picture of what God does for us. Today's a bad day for you. My heart goes out to you, and I will say this. Look to God. He will offer you compassion and love. He is good and kind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on Him. And find Him. Find in Him all that we need. Let's pray. Dear, we thank you for today. Today especially, we thank you for mothers. Biological mothers, yes, but people, women specifically, that you have placed in our lives who can speak wisdom and counsel, who can love us, who can care for us. I thank you for these wonderful gifts. Thank you that you have not set us here alone, but you have given us a family. And as I think about this, God, thank you that you've given us a church family where we can operate as spiritual mothers and brothers and sisters and children. God, thank you for this wonderful picture of your love for us. And when we struggle, help us to lean on your strength. When we find ourselves overwhelmed by sorrow and grief, God, help us to rely on your compassion. Thank you that you have been so good to us. Teach us, forgive us, speak to our hearts and minds. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.